Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, it is 94 WIP. We'll talk to Derek Bodner, the latest on the 76ers, in just a moment. But first, your chance to win $1,000. You have that chance right now by texting the word dollar to 72881. Text the word dollar to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter is going to win $1,000. You've got another chance to win $1,000 at this very time tomorrow on our show at noon. Also later today at 1 o'clock. We do it every day on our show at noon and 1. Also every day on the station, 8 a.m., noon, 1, 3, and 4 p.m. It's all powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app and certainly do so today. All right, let's talk some hoops, some 76ers hoops with our next guest, Mr. Derek Bodner. You can follow his work at Derek Bodner NBA, and he's brought to us by Stern and Cohen, the workers' compensation lawyers who compete for you like the game is on the line. For your work injury, get representation from the ultimate competitors at sterncohenlaw.com. And Derek, on the Sixers, who have been up and down lately and been not looking so good. How you doing, Derek?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Joe.
Well, good. I mean, if you're doing well, maybe a little better than Ben Simmons. Derek, if you look, I think we all share pretty similar opinions on Ben. So let's just cut to it this way. If you're Doc Rivers, what would you do with Ben Simmons?
I mean, I think when George Hill comes on the roster, or when George Hill is ready to play, I think that will give them another ball handler. George Hill's not a creative or a real dynamic scorer. It's a great question. You know, I think they've actually done a better job of utilizing Ben off ball at times throughout the year, and not just sticking him in the dunker spot, but cutting him, using him as a role man. But they just don't have that sort of dynamic perimeter creator. And for me, the question isn't always just, you know, how can you get more out of Ben Simmons or how can you utilize Ben Simmons, but how do you make up for the skill sets he doesn't have? And the Sixers right now just don't really have anyone to really fill in that role. And I think that's why you saw, of the two big names that Daryl Morey went after, they were James Harden and Kyle Lowry. Now, granted, they happen to be the best players on the market at that time, but I think they also have the skill sets that the Sixers lack. So I think as much as it is, how can you get the most out of Ben Simmons? How can you utilize him? It's also just and this has been one of the problems I've had with this team as a real legitimate title contender. They just don't have that elite perimeter shot creator, not just as a scorer, because Tobias Harris can get you some isolation buckets, but they don't really have anyone to facilitate their offense from the perimeter in that regard. And when Joel's out like he has been lately and Ben struggling, it really does highlight that.
Derek, does Doc say he's not worried about Ben because he really believes that? Like, he's really not worried? Or does he feel like that's how he has to react to deal with Ben's psyche? Like, is the problem like he's working around Ben's delicate mental state?
That is a fantastic question. I'm not sure I have a 100% answer for it. I do think, you know, there is a belief that Doc has that this is what you say publicly. And even if he was saying something differently behind closed doors, he would say this publicly. But I also just look at the way he's been utilized and the way he hasn't stepped out of his comfort zone, and I'm not sure he's being pushed behind closed doors either. And if you go back to sort of like the end of Doc's tenure with the Clippers, allowing star-level players to sort of dictate the culture and the style was one of the criticisms there as well. I think it's a fair concern that he hasn't been pushed to expand his game and step outside of his comfort zone. I think Doc does appreciate what he brings, you know, defensively and as a facilitator. But look, I mean, I looked up the stat recently after last night's game, actually. Doc Rivers likes to say, well, Ben does so much. Okay, but the Sixers offense right now is middling. It's average in the middle league. Since the All-Star break with Simmons on the court, the offense has been bottom five in the league. So yeah, maybe you can say if the rest of the team is succeeding and you're doing well offensively, it's not a concern. Well, you're not succeeding right now offensively. You're winning games because of your defense. You need Ben Simmons to put more pressure on the opponent's defense, and he's just not doing it right now.
Derek, would you – and Derek Bodner with us right now. Derek, would you agree with this statement? Barring injury to Laker great players or net great players, it is impossible that the 76ers would be able to beat the Nets or the Lakers in the playoffs unless Ben Simmons emerges from his turtle shell and again plays with aggression that he hasn't played with in the last month.
Yeah, well, look, he's averaging like 12 points per game since the All-Star break on really bad efficiency. If he plays like this, then yeah, they're not going to win. He could play good, like we're talking 16, 17 points per game on pretty good efficiency, pretty much what he's been throughout his career, And if Joel Embiid plays like the best player in the league, they have a chance. But if he plays like this, yeah, they certainly need more out of him if they're going to beat those teams like you just mentioned.
Derek, does it seem like we're witnessing an intensity problem with the rest of the team, not just Ben?
Well, certainly last night. The intensity wasn't there. It was a tough spot in terms, like we've seen, especially this year. You know, this is a year where they pretty much play, you know, have game, day off, game, day off, game, day off. You throw a back-to-back in there, and there's really no recovery time. We've seen back-to-backs really mess with teams on this condensed schedule, and last night the effort was not there. Mm-hmm. I do think the effort has been up and down a little bit here since the All-Star break, and I think the record can, you know, mask that a little bit, but, you know, you were playing the Lakers without LeBron and AD. You were playing the Warriors without Steph. Like, there are a lot of mitigating factors that made that stretch a little easier. You know, I do think the effort, and it's tough. They just came back off of a six-game road trip, so I give them a little bit of leeway that first game or two back is sometimes a trap game. But, yeah, the intensity has not been what it needs to be.
Derek, what'd you make of Embiid on Saturday night, his performance?
I mean, he looked rusty. He looked like, you know, his timing was off just a little bit. He didn't look like he was completely out of shape, which I thought was good. He has that problem sometimes when he has, you know, he had 3 weeks off because of the injury, but he then had the All-Star break off before then. He essentially had 5 weeks off. I thought he looked pretty good in terms of conditioning-wise, and I thought he looked rusty. But at the end of the day, he put up, 24 points and controlled the game down a stretch. He is that kind of talent. I think he will end up looking fine.
Should we forget about back-to-backs for Joel, or is it possible that the one seed could provide enough motivation for him to see the floor on back-to-backs?
Well, the one seed and also the MVP award, with LeBron missing the games that he had, and Denver still sort of being in the middle of that Western Conference pack, I think that is still somewhat in play. I think it's a little bit of a long shot considering how much he missed. But you have the MVP award and that one seed. And that one seed is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And more or less, I say if your options are the one seed or health, you have to side for health. That being said, the one seed allows you to not have to go through both Milwaukee and Brooklyn on a chance to an NBA Finals run. It's a huge deal. So I think they will – do I think he's going to miss every back-to-back? Probably not. I think they will try to have him play in some of them. But in last night's game, when just coming back from 3 weeks – thrust right into that back-to-back. I think that was a pretty easy decision.
Was Mike Scott at the five a failed one-time experiment?
I wish because that meant that they had a real good option. You know, right now the Sixers have a problem with Ben Simmons and Dwight Howard playing alongside each other. And when those two play together, Sixers offense completely craters for predictable reasons. There's no floor spacing. You have two players who won't shoot outside of 3 feet. It doesn't really work that well in a modern NBA, so they've tried to go to Mike Scott there to sort of complement some of Ben Simmons' minutes, and Mike Scott is just not a quality enough player to be in a playoff rotation right now. The other option, like they brought up Paul Reed last night, and Paul Reed's a 21-year-old or whatever rookie who has been on an NBA contract for like 2 weeks. It would be tough to expect him to come in and be able to fill that role. Mm-hmm. They are going to have to get creative, and I think when you get George Hill, you can then allow Ben Simmons to defend more of the four or the five positions. Maybe you can get a more switchable lineup on there so you don't need that classic rim protector. But Doc Rivers is going to have to get creative here because the two solutions they have tried have not worked, and I don't see that changing.
Derek, when are we going to see George Hill play?
Doesn't look like it's going to be super soon. It looks like they are going to be cautious with that. At one point, Doc Rivers said that certainly looking to get at least 10 games of runway before the playoffs, but that would still be a couple weeks away. It doesn't look like it is imminent. He has not started playing live contact practices yet. And at this point, he has missed months, so he's going to have to take some ramp-up time. I think it's still going to be at least a week or two, but possibly even more.
Any more info on Tyrese Maxey?
Just that he there's an inconclusive – Doc Rivers said there's an inconclusive test, and that is why he has he was in health and safety protocols. I have not gotten an update since last night.
There it is. Derek, stay well, man. We look forward to talking to you next week. And when this thing really ramps up toward the playoffs even more, Derek, great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
There he is, Derek. And look, they're 50 games in. They're in a great spot. They're 34-16. They're tied for the best record in the East. But it feels, John, like it's – I mean, he's right, man. That one seed is a big deal on two different levels. Level one is you get to avoid the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. Level two is you get game one and game seven at home, when there's going to be more fans. I mean, let's remember, the whole NBA calendar is pushed back an entire month this year. I mean, normally, this is April 5th. Normally, the NBA regular season would end in about 1 week. Instead, it ends in about 6 weeks. So the playoffs that would happen in the Eastern Conference, usually in May, are going to happen this year in June, late June. I mean, you're going to have a lot of fans, you know, decent, I think a pretty solid amount of fans, you know, late June at the Wells Fargo Center. And I want game one there, and I want game seven there. And that's a big difference, that one seed versus the two seed. Big difference. 215-592-9494. All right, react to that, and obviously everything related to the Phillies as well. A spectacular series by the Phillies. Remarkably efficient. Now, a little scary parts of game one and game three, in that in game one it was Alvarado walking the tightrope in the eighth inning. Yesterday it was Hector Neris in the ninth inning. Very similar games, though. Very similar games. The bats have not truly come alive, but the pitching has been spectacular. Starting pitching, relief pitching, while it's been a tightrope a couple times, they've gotten the job done. Relievers haven't given up a run yet. I got John telling me playoffs. I mean, listen, I'd love to say stamp of approval, no doubt I'm there. I can't do that yet. It's early. It's three games. It's not 30. It's not 100. It's not 130. It's three out of 162. But it was a spectacular three.
But they're so much better.
They do look better
than what they were.
They do.
And last year they held more leads than any team in the NL, except the Dodgers. This year we're gonna get leads. We have offense, and Alec Bohm is gonna be even better. I believe that Rhys Hoskins is gonna be even better, and he's gonna be playing. Last year he wasn't.
Yeah,
we're a better team offensively. We're certainly a better team pitching, and we're 1 year more seasoned and mature, and we've learned from our mistakes. You should feel very confident.
I feel very good. I wouldn't say I feel very confident. That's a differentiating factor.
And I think that's just because we've learned to protect ourselves from watching these collapses over the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Well, stop thinking that way.
Well, I mean, it's a
different manager. It's a different team. It's a different attitude. They are legit.
Okay, we'll see. Let's go to the phone, see where everyone stands in the Phils. Sean in North Philadelphia. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great, Sean.
As part of my voice, I threw my voice out on Saturday at the Phillies game.
Were you wooing?
I was wooing me and the guys at the 400 level. When Charlie Morton was hitting, we were screaming that his World Series ring doesn't count. We were all in it. I was, when Zach came up his second at bat, I was screaming, "Yo, get one for yourself!" And right then, first pitch,
yeah,
get yourself RBI.
That was a heck of a hit.
And I'm going there tonight as well.
Great.
But my thing on the Phillies is, John, I'm with you on the optimism, but like Joe said, we have to figure out our fourth and fifth guys. And I know I'm with you, John, every team has to worry about their fourth and fifth starter. But with the Mets and the Braves being considered by the national pundits that they're the top two teams, if we could get at least two out of three against the Mets with either our fourth and fifth starter and Nola on the third day, then I'll be a little more confident about where our situation is. But I love how the bullpen's going. I love how defensively they're more cleaned up. And I just believe the bats will come alive more. Like, today's going to be warm. So I believe the bats are going to warm up a little bit more, too.
Hope so. Yeah, hope so.
Well, we're facing DeGrom.
Oh, that's yeah. Hey, give me two, Sean. Give me two, and we need this Matt Moore guy to give up one run, and bang, 2-1 victory.
That's where I'm at.
I won't necessarily count on that, by the way. Sean, give me what you got for a great trio.
I'll go left or right. LeClaire, Lindros, Renberg. Well, Legion, it's a doom.
Great one, but it's been said three times now. Give me a different one.
Already? All right, I got one then. Jack, Chrissy, and Janet, Three's Company.
Sure. Really good answer.
Yeah,
right,
super.
Like that answer a lot. James, if you could, can you look up, please, who is favorite for today's Phillies game? You know, I don't normally think from a betting standpoint in terms of individual games. Some people do. Not my thing. But I would think that, you know, the Mets with DeGrom will be a heavy favorite tonight against Matt Moore. What are we looking at?
Yeah, they are. They're a 1.5-run favorite.
That's pretty significant, right?
Yeah, it's so baseball betting's a little weird where it's almost like always you either bet like 1.5 runs or a money line for the most part. But if you look at the odds, like the plus odds and stuff, the like it shows that most people are betting on the Mets at -1.5. So I mean, Mets are a clear favorite.
John, this is going to be a fun game to watch from two standpoints, from a measuring stick standpoint. I mean, first off, it's fun just because they're 3-0 and we're all feeling good. But how do the bats do against DeGrom?
Mm-hmm.
And how does Matt Moore do? Right? I mean, like, we all feel great, but let's be real for a sec here. Let's you know, peel back the, you know, we're all, like, thinking they're going to go 162-0 and we joke around, blah, blah. Like, all right, let's be real. Matt Moore starts tonight. Some guy named Chase Anderson starts tomorrow. I know almost nothing about them.
Right.
They were bargain basement signings. Weren't they, James, both minor league signings, guys?
No. Matt Moore was in Japan.
Yeah, Matt Moore was in Japan, but they were not minor. They
no, but the contract.
No, they were not. Okay. Like Brandon Kinsler was. A lot of the bullpen guys were. These were not. These were major league contracts. I know Chase Anderson for sure was, and I'm pretty sure Matt Moore was.
Okay. But not Harrelton. Let's put it that way. So we'll see what these guys can do. And then, you know, let's reconvene on where the Phillies are once we've seen these two guys pitch. Let's go to Gary in Whitehall. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you doing?
Super, Gary.
Hey, three-headed monster. Jimmy Seltzer, John Ritchie, and Deke the Geek.
Oh, okay, there you go. I don't know about that nickname, but if you say so.
Hey, what? You said your nickname was Deke when you were in school.
Well, it was Deke, but why did it have to become Geek?
Oh, the shoe fits.
Gary, I want you to name the movie here. We're going to the 80s, okay? Name the movie. He went from, like, totally geek to, like, totally chic. Can you name that movie, Gary?
Totally geek to totally chic.
Yeah.
For the Love of Money?
No.
Joe's seen it how many times?
I mean,
it strikes
money
buy, chord.
Money can buy you love?
You're close. It's Can't Buy Me Love. Good job.
Can't Buy Me Love,
I've seen that. I mean,
the kid cutting the grass?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, at least 35, 40 times. No question.
I've seen it once. So, yeah. Okay.
Love that movie. Anyway, go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Bullpen.
Yep.
Dominance. Especially, I love that. Thursday was great because me being working night shift, I got to hear the West Coast games and listen to Gabe Kapler's bullpen implode for 7 runs, including ex-Philly Jose Alvarez walking in 3 in the bottom of the 10th inning. That was awesome. I loved it. I mean, take that, Gabe. All right, so, I'm not worried about Alvarado. Yeah, he's a little wild, but when you throw 100 miles an hour, Mitch going cut wild thing for a reason, right?
It was dicey on Thursday with Alvarado, but then yesterday, man, he's scary. He's intimidating.
And then Hector, when you use him 3 days in a row,
that had something to do with his lack of location yesterday. He was a little tired.
Let's hope.
I hope. Yeah.
Let's hope. But I mean, John, that is a concern.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It harkened back to whenever they sent him down. You know, when he couldn't buy a strike.
Yeah.
We saw some of that yesterday. He got bailed out by a bad call.
Yep. Let's go to Josh Maniunk. Yo, Josh.
Boys, great show as always. I tell you what, I find it hard to believe that we're worried about Ben Simmons. Oh, wait, this is a record that plays every year.
Yeah.
And as the playoffs get closer, he becomes more and more exposed. I love all the – it's like, oh, he's so great. He's doing so wonderful defensively. Stop. He's a liability. And in the playoff time, when games like – I mean, Derek Vidner just said it. Him and Howard can't play together because they both take up the middle. That's all he does. He's a liability, guys. The best part is I've been rooting for it. Get rid of him. Trade him. He stinks, okay? He's not a generational player because he only plays one play defensively.
Yeah, well, he's definitely not a gen. I mean, the whole generational player thing, he certainly is not one.
He has to go. And you know what? When they get knocked out in the first round, Daryl Morey's got to figure out his trade value is a lot less than it was.
Right. Well, they're not going to lose in the first round. I mean, unless Embiid's injured, they're not going to lose in the first round.
He's overrated and he needs to go, Joe. I've been saying for years, okay? It's over with this guy. And the people in Philadelphia, it's like the woke culture. Oh, my God, you can't say anything wrong. He's a fraud, all right? He's not great. He's not a top 25 or top 50 player. So I'm looking forward to it. I've been quiet all year because everyone's saying how great he is. I'm like, okay, wait till the playoff time. But we don't have to wait till the playoff time. He's already getting exposed.
Josh, give me what you got here for a great trio.
Rollins, Hutley,
Utley and Howard.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. There's no question about it. 215-592-9494. Coming up, something that it struck me very odd recently in sports. Very odd. We haven't even talked about it yet. They could have figured it out differently. They didn't. Really bizarre. What it is relates to football, the Eagles. We'll discuss it next. Yoda Cameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. Hey, it's title time, and FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is hooking you up like a champ. They're celebrating the big game, tonight's game, with 40-1 odds on either team, Gonzaga or Baylor. Pick the school. That's right. New users get 40-1 odds on either team to win the championship game. You can win $200 on a $5 bet. I repeat, you can win $200 on a $5 bet. Which way to go? Well, Gonzaga has been the best team this season in college basketball and likely will win tonight's game. If you've been watching from the sidelines all tournament long, well, now's the perfect time to get in on the action. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-1 odds. The app, so easy to use. And when you win, they'll get you paid in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94WIP. Just sign up using promo code HAMMER. Promo code HAMMER upon sign up always gets you the best deal. Promo code HAMMER for tonight's game, where you can win $200 on a $5 bet. A great opportunity with promo code HAMMER with FanDuel Sportsbook.